Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trundy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416.
National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Station Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bumbaribit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Have your say in Yarnup Strong, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from, and to all our traditional owners across this beautiful country, as Welcome Black, National Talk Black, have you seen Yarnup Strong. Now, Gambling Helps is funded by the Queensland Government to provide free services to members of the community who may be impacted by gambling harm. The harm from gambling extends to not just the person gambling, but to those closest to them, family, friends, work colleagues, and the community. It can impact the person emotionally, psychologically, financially, and physically. It can disrupt their cultural connections and cause great harm to the relationship they value most. With that, we're going to catch up a yarn there with me in the studio, Alan Blackshaw, Gambling Help Community Educator. And a very good morning, Alan. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks, Trevor. It's good to be here.
Thank you. Great to have you, and thank you for coming. First of all, Alan Blackshaw. Who's Alan Blackshaw?
Me. I'll go back to my family. My family comes from Goulburn in New South Wales.
Cold country.
And talking to Trevor early on, we found out that we have a mutual contact there.
Yeah, we do. 6 degrees separation. When we opened our mouth. 2 degrees.
So my family's from Goulburn. I was adopted, so I don't know who my natural family were. Okay. I know a little bit about them, but not a lot. From there, I worked on the south coast of New South Wales and now living in beautiful Cairns.
Saw the light come north, eh?
We did. We did indeed.
Look, so we're talking about the hat that you wear, Gambling Help Community Educator. Look, gambling is a tool. It's for entertainment, but it can become a yucky tool, is the word I would use to describe it. It can harm family, friends, colleagues, as I mentioned in the intro. So give us a bit of background regarding Gambling Help Community Educator. Educate us on this vehicle that people are using.
Yeah, look, to start off with, there's no problem with someone gambling, someone having a bit of fun gambling. It's an entertainment, that's fine. But once it starts to cause harm or negative impact in a person's life or in other people's lives around them, then it becomes a problem.
Sure.
We used to once upon a time talk about problem gamblers. We no longer talk about problem gamblers because we don't want people to be further stigmatized or to feel further shame about issues that they might be having in their lives. What we are saying now is that we're looking at the harm that extends from a person, you know, from gambling, when it gets out of control for a person, when it becomes a coping mechanism for a person and it becomes a little bit out of control. So that can obviously cause financial harm to them, to others, emotional harm. It can also cause them to drink more, take other drugs. So we see it sitting alongside other drugs as well. And it's it can become an addiction. And it can be a difficult behaviour for a person to control. Mm-hmm. So we want to see it through that health lens, that we want to be able to work alongside people to help them, to give them the tools that they need to minimise that harm and perhaps, you know, reduce the gambling they're doing. Or some people may have to end up giving up gambling as well.
Sure.
Harm, it's pretty interesting. When we talked about problem gambling years ago, we only saw about 1% of the population, but we know about 10% of the population who gamble are also suffering some degree of harm. And then that extends to their family and friends, their work colleagues, because they may be borrowing money from their work colleagues. It may interfere with their work where they want to get an advance on their pay.
Sure. So we're talking about addiction here, aren't we?
Yeah, it is. It can become an addiction. So we think that the research is now saying that it can, gambling harm can impact up to 20%, not just of gamblers, but of the population in general. So of the adult population, one in five people may be impacted by either their gambling or someone else's gambling.
So, and with that, you look at so-called big, we're all big supporters of our football codes, AFL, yep. NRL, you know, professional sports, basketball, whatever it is. The gambling runs coincide with that.
Yes, yes. We see one of the growth areas that we're seeing are people coming to gambling help for support around sports betting.
Yes.
Because like any other form of gambling or any other behaviour, it can become a major problem for them. The problem with sports betting is you can just grab your phone out and do it very quickly and you don't even see the money. It can be play money for all.
Sure.
So it's got that further one step disconnection.
True monopoly.
Away from money. So it can feel like monopoly money. We in particular do see a lot of quite a number of young tradies because they finish work earlier and they might gamble together. We also might see them after they've young blokes might go play a football game, go to the pub afterwards, and put a few bets on. For most, it's fine, but for some people, it starts to get out of control, and then that harm factor comes into play, and that's when we would really like them to come and seek help as early as possible.
Well, we're talking about entertainment, and you open it up with in regarding gambling. Yes, it is entertainment. When you get your pay packet, your bills are paid, your rent's paid, or your mortgage is paid, and electricity paid, and food's in the fridge, so to speak, in the cupboard. Then you got money aside for the gambling, which is your entertainment. Some people like to go and buy jewellery. Some people like to go jet skiing. Some people like to go away on a weekend. But gambling's it, as long as you stay within that perimeter, you would say, in that budget.
Yeah, look, and it makes a lot of sense to be able to budget first.
Yes.
The thing is that we all come to those choice points. Some people make choices that go towards that value of paying things up front first. Other people decide to do other things first.
Sure. So,
but as I said before, as long as it's not creating harm in a person's life, there's no problem with gambling. It would make a lot of sense to budget first, pay your bills first, then have an entertainment dollar, some play money.
Okay. Now, gambling help community. The individual has to reach out, or can a friend, a family member reach out for the individual? How does that work, and is there engagement when a friend or family member reaches out?
Yeah, look, we talk to both the person themselves if they reach out, family members, that if they are concerned about another family member's gambling, they're already impacted by the harm of that of that gambling. It's already at a stage where they're reaching out to help. So we'll talk to them as well. So as I said, anyone who's impacted by gambling, we find sometimes that the person who's gambling may not recognise that it's a problem yet, but other people may recognise it first. We often talk to people who come to us first, and then the person who's gambling may come later after that person's been to see us, has got some information, and is able to just probably talk to their partner.
Yes.
It could be their parent who's gambling, it could be their children. We find that it extends from the person gambling. Once it's at a stage where it is causing harm, that can be to parents, children, extended family, their friends, and even into the workplace where they may be borrowing money, as we've said before, from their mates.
Now, it's hard and probably hard to police, or I don't know if they've got the right to do so, but if you've got the local publican who's aware of someone in this situation, can they stop them from coming in?
They can talk to the person, and they can recommend that they seek help. The person themselves can self exclude. Self exclusion is a great tool.
Good.
Many people don't come for counselling; they come for us to help them to exclude from a venue.
Okay.
The process is pretty simple. You can exclude yourself from in Queensland. You can exclude yourself from the whole venue or part of the venue.
Okay.
So you might choose that I still want to go out with my friends and have a good time, to have a meal, to have a drink, to socialise, but I don't want to go into the gaming room. So you could exclude yourself from the gaming room. and we'll help you with the paperwork for that. And that works incredibly well because there are penalties if you do breach that self-exclusion down the track.
Yep.
What happens is that you fill out the self-exclusion paperwork, we take a photo, you supply us with a copy of your driver's license, that goes off to the venue, comes back to, they'll send you an email. Once you receive that email, you've got 24 hours to change your mind, and then it stays in place for 5 years.
Okay.
After 12 months, you can ask for that to be reviewed, but otherwise it's a five-year period. And then you can renew it again. We often have, I thought at first when I first started working in this sector, that self-exclusion, I didn't think it would work.
Mm.
But for many, many people, it's incredibly successful. It provides that psychological barrier.
Yes.
So they can still go into a venue and they know that they're not going to gamble.
Yeah,
they've
sure.
got that wall.
They signed the contract, so to speak.
Yeah, it's like a contract
yeah.
and it's a deal they've made with themselves, with
right.
the venue, with the government. If the venue do spot you there and you are in the gaming room and are playing the machines, they can ask you to leave that area. They can also, if you do win on the pokies, when you've excluded yourself from the pokies, you won't be paid out.
Sure. Okay, fantastic. OPE, other people's experience. So you would have come across a lot of different stories and different scenarios, not to mention any names, but can you paint some picture about the devastation of gambling?
Oh, look. We talk to a whole range of people. The thing about gambling is that it doesn't discriminate. It
sure.
doesn't matter what your culture is, what your class is, what your educational standard is.
How old you are.
How young. Even though it does, people are more likely to initially get caught up, often younger.
Okay.
We know that from research it's 18 to 34-year-old males in particular. So young blokes are particularly vulnerable as far as getting caught up with gambling and gambling harm goes. Look, some of the stories we have, as I said, tradies. I've spoken to quite a few young tradies who've come in and to talk about their gambling. Sometimes they come in because their parents have wanted them to come in.
Mm.
We often have less success with people that who've been sent along because they feel they have to make mum and dad happy or their wife happy.
So they're not committed to the change, so to speak.
Yeah, yeah. But sometimes if they've realised that, well, if my partner or my mum's seen this as a big problem and has spoken to me about it and has made the call to these blokes, these people at Gambling Help, then maybe it is a problem, maybe I need to think about it. So I've had one particular young bloke in particular where his partner rang up and it was about sports betting. We worked with him on strategies that work for him so he can still go out with his mates, have a good time. And he's got the tools in place so he doesn't feel he has to gamble.
Yep. Are you finding a lot of people are coming to you?
We'd like more to come to
us.
Yeah,
sure.
One of the things with gambling is that it has a lot of stigma. It's a lot of shame job with gambling.
Okay.
More so than any other addiction. We often say that a person would much rather tell us that they took a truckload of ice on the weekend than that they'd spent a couple of thousand dollars gambling.
Okay.
A lot of shame with gambling. And we want people to know that, you know, we will talk to them in a non-judgmental way. We don't judge you at all. We just want to help.
Exactly.
So we would like to see more people come in. It's a hard yards for a person to overcome that shame. Mm-hmm. To put their hands up is the first barrier. To get them to come and talk to us is the next barrier.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot of work for them inside. Like a person might ring us up and then mightn't meet with us for a while and then ring us up again later when they're more ready.
Beginning's half done is what we say. To those deadly listeners just tuned in, Trinity Trev here, Murray from the Curry, National Talk Black, here at the studios of BBM, Bummer Bripper Media, 98.7 FM, and go across the nation thanks to the NERS, National Radio Service. Having a deadly yarn here with Alan Blackshaw, Gambling Help Community Educator. And look, it's across the board regarding gambling and the outside the entertainment side of it. It can be devastating regarding affecting family members, individuals, work colleagues, marriages, business, job opportunities, all the above. As I mentioned, Alan, can you give us some scenarios and some of the stuff that you've come across regarding devastation of gambling?
Yeah, I can talk to you about an example of one young bloke who came to see me, again with sports gambling, and some years ago. this particular fellow had gotten in trouble with the law because he was in a hole financially and stole from his employer. So he had a legal
over gambling.
Yeah. And he'd found it really hard to kick the gambling habit.
So that's the other thing I've just picked up while you're talking there. So if you've got an addiction happening and then you need money, then you may be going to other sources like stealing money, family members or your workplace.
Yeah. Look, we see things, people steal from their family's money jars. If the family's got a money jar, they take money out of the kids' bank accounts. Credit card fraud's an easy thing for people to fall into.
Yep.
And there are scenarios too where people do things like armed holdups. You know, mug people. It's
sure.
You know, it's something that, you know, you're in a financial hole. You're also possibly suffering, you know, emotional distress. You may have anxiety, depression, may not be able to see a way out of it. So people go to that extreme.
Desperate people do desperate things.
And unfortunately, we do see people who self-harm as well.
Sure. So going back to the story, that young fellow.
Yep. So he came to us for some help because of that problem that he had with the with the law. We worked with him through counselling. Haven't seen him for a while, so I trust that he's doing well. Usually people stop coming to see us when they feel they've got enough information, tools, and they go away. Gambling's one of those things. Gets a bit sticky, and they tend to come back. But it's like any of those behaviours that are hard to deal with. You've got a habit. You don't change it like that usually. It takes... It could take time after time after time. So it takes a number of attempts. Because you've got to rewire the neural pathways. You've got to rechange how your brain talks to itself.
Sure, fantastic. So to people out there who feel that they're in this situation and they need help and support, how do they contact Gambling Help?
They just give us a quick phone call. And I can give you that. Cairns number is 4050-4988. And even if you're not there, you can leave a message on our answering machine and we'll get back to you. If it's outside working hours, say if it's outside 8:30 to 4:30, Monday to Friday, you can call the Gambling Helpline 24/7.
Yep.
And that's 1-800-858-858.
1-800-858-858. That's the number you need to call. Reach out.
Yep. And you can talk to someone who'll be able to give you some immediate help. And even if you say to them, I really want to talk to a counsellor ongoing, they'll then talk to you about making a referral to us and they will send us an email so we can talk to you at a later date.
And all confidential, all private, isn't it?
Yeah, our counselling is confidential, it's private and non-judgmental.
Lovely, thank you. Alan, good yarn with you. Thank you very much for sharing. There is a situation out there which is devastating to a lot of people. It is an addiction and we're here to help and support. Thank you for your yarn. All the best to you, and we'll talk soon, Alan.
Okay, thanks a lot, Trevor. Been great talking.
You too. Take care. So there it is, Alan Blackshaw, our Gambling Help Community Educator. Here in Cairns, the phone number 4050-4988, otherwise 1-800-858-858. So do reach out, otherwise Gambling Help Queensland, QLD that is, one word, .org.au. So whatever support you need, then reach out. And like I said, beginning is half done. Reach out, they will reach back. Two-way street. Have you saying Jan Armstrong? Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black.
I'm driving now to home to see my family, and I'm wondering if this old car will make it gradually. Dust and the heat is really killing me. Haven't been up this way in years. There's a sign saying we're close, and with my time I'll make the most and spend my time with my family. We'll go out where we should be. I listen to my grandfather's stories. I won't be in a hurry. Spend my time with my family. Oh.
stop. You're on private land, but there's nothing much to see. Just red sand. As I drive closer to our place, there's a smile on my face, 'cause I can see some houses and some people there. When I drive across the river, I know I'll stay here forever. Spend my time with my family. We'll go go out where we should be,
where we should be.
I'll listen to my grandfather's stories. I won't be in a hurry. Spend my time with my family.
Everybody,
I'll spend my time with my family. We'll go and my
Why did you get vaccinated? Vaccinations are the best way to protect us from serious preventable diseases. When you visit the free Wuchopperin vaccination pop-up clinic, you'll be entered into the monthly draw to win 6 months free fruit and vegetables delivered directly to your door every week. Wow, that's a great reward for protecting your family. One entry for every free vac shot. This Wednesday in Edmonton, no appointment needed. Just walk in between 9 a.m. and 12 noon. Check out Wuchopperin's Facebook page for more details.
Station sponsor.
Thinking about uni or TAFE, but unsure what study will be like? You're not alone. Plenty of our mob found the course they want and the support they were looking for at CQ University. Thanks to campus locations across the country, as well as dedicated Indigenous support staff who are there to welcome, guide, and listen. See it. Be it. We know you can. Start your journey at CQ Uni today.
Station sponsor.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trek.
1-800-422-416.
When the lugs all sailed away from Roebuck Bay that fateful day, the diver on the B-19 was Nakamura. Yet 21, from the land of the rising sun, his homeland was the island Okinawa. In the deepest holes of the blasted beach shores, to fulfill the pearling master's goals, went the diver of the B-19, Nakamura. His quest for the lustrous pearl, as strong as his love for the beautiful girl, he quit when he returned to Okinawa. But it's goodbye now, farewell. Say goodbye to Okinawa. For today, they'll bury you in West Australia. Sayonara, tropical squall. Then the mercury began to fall. 40 fathoms deep was Nakamura. Set sail, no time to stay, for the storm began to rage. And they pulled to the surface the diver Nakamura. The agony in his eyes, an old Malay man cries. He knows the bends have got young Nakamura. Helplessly they cursed as the diver's lungs near burst. And he died on the deck, the boy from Okinawa. Cemetery in broom, bearing gifts all deep in gloom. They walked with the body of the diver Nakamura. Headstones face the west, a thousand divers lie at rest, and they're joined today by the boy from Okinawa. But it's goodbye now, farewell, say goodbye to Okinawa. For today they'll bury you in West Australia, and you will never be as one with the land of the rising sun. Sayonara, sayonara, Nakamura.
Here on your daily program, National Talk Black, have your say, yarn up strong. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. Call that number. Yarn is yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trevor Murray from the Curry. I'm your host of your daily program, National Talk Black, and we're live here at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns in Yidinji country, BBM Bumrabrip Media, 98.7 FM, and we've got Foster Nation, thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. All right, Dreaming Big premieres on Friday, September, that's September 5, that is, at 7:30 p.m. on NITV, SBS On Demand, a bold new sporting documentary series celebrating First Nation athletes, culture and the power of sport. I'm going to catch up a yarn now with Dreaming Big co-director, and that's Abraham Byrne-Jameson, and we know him as Abe. Abe's on the line. Abe, good morning. How are you?
Very good, Trevor. How are you?
I'm very good, my brother. Before we start, let the mob know who your mob were you from, Abe.
Yeah, so I'm Abraham, Johannes Tookie Byrne-Jameson, long name out there. But my mob is the Wooditi mob from far north Queensland, the landmarks being Shelburne Bay and Lockhart River.
Yeah, beautiful. All right, big shout out to your mob. Thank you very much. Brother, look, congratulations, co-director, Dreaming Big. When you look at our deadly mob, we are very deadly at music and sports, you know. So here we are, a premiere, Dreaming Big, and a bold new sporting documentary series talking about First Nations athletes, culture, and the power of sport. So enlighten us, please, how it all came about. And it's been premiered, Friday, tonight, 5 September, brother.
Yeah, premieres tonight. I think 8 hours to wait, so we're all very excited here. But, it started with NITV and just wanting some new programs and things, sort of targeting more of the adolescent and a little bit less of the full young kid market, and also not so much going into the full adult market either. So we were able to pitch 4 different TV shows, and Dreaming Big was one of them. We were stoked to be able to show off mob and the excellence that they can bring.
Look, fantastic. We're talking about Dreaming Big. We're talking about First Nation athletes, culture, and the power of sport. It becomes a fantastic vehicle in guiding our mob to virtually come out of this shell or show their talent as such. But also, look, we're talking about professional sports, if not, you know, venturing into that realm of things as well. So a great platform, you could say.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I think it sort of goes along with that, with the Australian story of, you know, we're always typically the underdogs in sport, and you can just look at our, you know, our population versus our medal count in the Olympics, and And then you keep that same logic and you look at, you know, First Nations in Australia being 3% or less. And if Australia can do that well with little people, and then an even smaller community can be at the top of even some of those sports, it's pretty remarkable.
Look, fantastic. So we're talking about Dreaming Big, and it's premiered tonight on NITV and SBS. Are we talking one show, or is it a series, or a couple of shows as such?
Yeah, no, sorry, it's a documentary series with 6 episodes focusing on 13 athletes, and sort of we put a lot of the episodes together. For instance, the one premiering tonight is a surfing episode, and we had a couple of Noongar surfers who now live on Gubbi Gubbi country up in the sunny coast, and then we had also had one of our female surfers, and she's down in South Australia there, so we were able to follow them around, and then also show them off at Bell's Beach down in south of Geelong there.
Good.
And show off the national Indigenous titles and things like that. So yeah, we were able to get, you know, just a lot of people from all across the nation, all with different cultures, all with different sports, and you know, from surfing to flat track motocross to boxing to having 2 sisters, with one of them is the highest end you could possibly be in Australian karate, and her sister is as good as that in soccer. So
deadly.
Yeah, it was. It's pretty cool to watch. You know, even small families just be like, "How are you guys so talented?"
Yeah, good. And it's good to see those stories, but also it becomes a platform to empower, enlighten younger brothers and sisters who are watching that. You know, you can't be what you can't see, and there's the platform. Inspiration for those individuals, I would think.
Yeah, I completely agree, and like we decided as a team to sort of stick away a little bit from the full mainstream Australian sports, you know, the AFL, the NRL, and the netball. Not that they don't need help and things like that, but we just sort of wanted to showcase for mob, you know, that might be maybe in the regional sectors and really only see AFL and NRL as a way out, and it's like actually there's a whole lot more sports that you can do, and you don't have to rely on just the big three.
Well, I think you will agree. You know, you've been to Murray from up this way, far north Queensland, and I'm up here in Cairns as well. And when you're talking about First Nation people on a surfboard, we would think, well, how? We can't be surfing. There's no surfer being one. And two, there's big lizards up here. Don't worry, we're getting water at them, mob. And so we're going to have our black people who are surfing and kicking goals in that sport. So, yeah, like the talent as we are, and we can pick up things very easy. So just to see that story unfold, that in itself is inspirational.
Yeah, it definitely is. And like you said, it will be cool for a lot of kids, you know, maybe in those regional areas and things that don't get exposed to that.
Yeah.
It's definitely a way for them to look and be inspired by other sports and other kids.
Exactly. Black person on a surfboard. There you go. Fantastic. So that's all that's all airing tonight. Premiere, Dreaming Big, 6 series, and starting tonight, Friday, September 5, 7:30 p.m, NITV, SBS. Abe, co-director, come on board. Who's on board with you, and how did it all start in regarding this concept and idea?
Yeah, so I said earlier, NITV came and asked Wild Bear Entertainment and asked to come up with 4 shows, and we were able to do that. Dream Big being one of them, and then we're a media who I work for as head of production.
Okay.
My dad and I started the company when
What's
I was.
What's dad's name?
The dad's name's Richard Jameson.
He's, okay, big shout out, Richard Jameson. OAM. He has a reading here. Beautiful.
He does have an OAM. He never likes to tell anyone, but I tell everyone for
there
him.
There you go. You deadly dad.
Spent a long time in the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade in Canberra, where he got to give us a really blessed childhood and things like that.
Beautiful.
And then decided he wanted to film me doing motocross, and that's how we both picked up a camera.
Right.
I ran out of talent on the bike, so I picked out the camera too, and that's how we started. And you know, maybe 17 years later, here we are making a TV show.
Well, congratulations to both of you, and look to everybody involved. Dreaming Big premieres on NITV, SBS, 7:30 p.m. tonight, Friday, September 5. Thank you for your yarn. Congratulations. And looking forward to more yarns down the track and, of course, seeing the rest of the series. And thank you very much, Abe.
Absolutely. No, thank you for having us on, and I hope everyone enjoys the content and gets inspired by some of the coolest people and kids you'll ever see.
Hear that, brother. You take care. All the best. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Beautiful young there. That's Abraham Ben Jemison, Dreaming Big co-director. So Dreaming Big premieres on NITV SBS On Demand. That's happening tonight at 7:30 p.m. Check that out. A bold new sporting documentary series celebrating First Nation athletes, culture and the power of sport. And aren't we deadly in that space, you mob? Have your saying, Yarn Up Strong. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. Me and my lama, ya lama.
Thank you. G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
One generation from a warrior. One generation from a warrior. One generation from a warrior. That's what we are.
One generation from a warrior.
Yes, that's what we are. One generation from a warrior. One generation from a warrior. One generation from a warrior. That's what we are.
One generation from a warrior.
Yes, that's what we are. Our fathers were warriors, their fathers before them. But though we're now civilized, our hearts are not far from them. 'Cause we're
one generation from a warrior.
One generation from a warrior.
One generation from a warrior.
That's what we are.
One generation from a warrior.
Oh yes, that's what we are.
One generation from a warrior.
From a warrior,
one generation from a warrior,
that's what we are.
One generation from
ooh,
a warrior,
yes, that's what we are. Now that we know where our people come from, we found our identity, our spirit lives on and on.
Nation beat, got a rubber dub style. Island warrior, but me plan all wild. Listen to the beat, to the rhyme, to the rhythm. We gon' make you jump, cop car, now you get him. To kick a raga in a natty vibration. We are the children of the next generation. Coming to you with a positive style. All simply, I'm the warrior, but me plan all wild.
One generation from a warrior.
One generation from a warrior.
One generation from a warrior.
That's what we are.
One generation from a warrior.
Yes, that's what we are.
One generation from a warrior.
One generation from a warrior.
One generation from a warrior.
That's what we are.
One generation from a warrior.
Ooh, yes, that's what we are. Our fathers were warriors. Their fathers before them. But though we're now civilized, not far from them.
'Cause we're one generation from a warrior.
One generation from a warrior.
One generation from a warrior.
That's what we are.
One generation from a warrior.
Yes, that's what we are.
One generation from a warrior.
One generation from a warrior.
One generation from a warrior.
That's what we are.
One generation from a warrior.
That's what we are.
Saying knowing that is the loving and the memories are not because you can't raise it because you know you're loving and I'm really covered. It's all they become if it comes. No, because you know it's giving up from the back. Insisting in the island styles. Only while all them are fun. All I send up people fun. You love when you just need that them is gone.
Yes, a very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Station Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country as BBM Bumbaribib Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Have you saying yarn up strong? Deadly number here is 1-800-422-416. That's the number you need to call and have your say in yarn up strong. You can text your brother as well, 045-714-0550, and our Facebook page as well, BBM987FM. So have your say in yarn up strong, while he is here. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land where we broadcast from and to all our traditional owners across this beautiful country. Welcome Black, National Talk Black, have your say in yarn up strong. All right, now Southwest Aboriginal Women's Collective hosts a second historic round table. We're going to catch a heavy yarn now with Michelle Woosnam, a Southwest Aboriginal Women's Collective chairperson, and we do have Michelle on the line. Michelle, good morning. How are you?
Good Good morning, Trevor. I'm well. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Where are you based?
I am on Wadani country here in the southwest of Western Australia, so a little town called Bunbury.
Bunbury, beautiful. And before we start, just to let the mob know who your mob, where you from.
Yeah, thank you.
Go ahead, sister. Let them know. Let them know who you are and where you're from.
Oh, yes, I am Noongar Balladong woman.
Yes.
And Bunjamar.
All right, beautiful.
So, yep. having lived on Wadani country for the last 30 years.
Beautiful. Well, thank you. And a big shout out to your mob and all the mob there. Thank you very much. So Southworth Aboriginal Women's Collective hosts second historic round table. So the first one in Yorgong, of course, was deadly. So we're running again, yes?
Yes, that's right. So it was a two-day event. We had women from all across the southwest region come.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, those women that live across the southwest come from all over Australia.
Good.
So we had some of your mob across this way living here. So we had some ladies from the single mob, the durable mob, and Boygu Island as well.
Beautiful. And we're talking about sisters in yarning. So all topics, it's open slather, you could say.
Yeah, it is. What we like to do is, as a collective, we like to make sure that women have a voice.
Okay.
So we set the program up, but we give opportunity for women to talk about the issues that concern them.
Yeah.
So we'll raise a couple of those, and that's what we'll work on for this next period of time.
All right. Fantastic. So how many all told at the table?
Oh, gosh. I reckon final numbers. You know, people come and go and whatnot, but we reckon there was over 120 women there.
Beautiful.
From across the southwest region. So that's our biggest numbers yet.
Mm. So inaugural one was last year, was it?
It was in January this year.
Oh, January actually. This year, okay. So we're looking at an annual event or like a twice a year? Or how many?
Yeah, we're looking at an annual event and we'll do lots of little events in between.
Okay.
What we're trying to make sure of is that if we have an annual event in our major city, which is Bunbury, but it's really important to us that we go out to our regions.
Yes.
Which are 150 kilometres or so around. So we also do road shows as well. So we go into our smaller communities and we go and have events out there. So that's why we had such a great turnout, because we're really focused on making sure that we are engaging people from all the towns.
Yeah, beautiful. So Southwest Aboriginal Women's Collective, that's SWA double C. How long have you been running for?
This is our original building of our foundation. So it's almost a year and a half now from the original conversation that we had.
Yes.
We were lucky enough to be invited to the Kimberley Aboriginal Women's Council roundtable.
Mm.
We saw what that mob were doing up there at the top end, and we just went, we want that.
Mimic
we
it.
We
yep.
need that
yep.
in our region. So they've been mentoring us and guiding us to do the work that we're doing now.
Lovely.
So we're just setting up our structures right now.
Right.
And we welcome other people from around Australia to come and see what we're doing.
Yes.
Because we believe that grassroots women, we know that we've got the solutions to some of our issues that we have.
Well, exactly. And it's from the inside out, which is fantastic. So the outsiders coming in. And then we're talking about our sisters, our mothers at the table, give birth to life, or give birth to the idea and have a strong foundation is what I'm picking up, Michelle.
Absolutely. We managed to celebrate, for the first time, we created an opportunity to start celebrating these remarkable Aboriginal women from the southwest in our history.
Yes.
So this year, this round table, we recognise two of our matriarchs that have passed away now.
Oh, lovely.
Bless their hearts.
Yeah, bless their spirits.
So we had Annie Phyllis McGuire, who was an absolute trailblazer in education and setting up the first Aboriginal kindy in Bunbury, and then Annie Gloria Khan, who was a phenomenal woman in health, not just working across Bunbury and being a part of the setup of our local Aboriginal Medical Service, but also across Australia.
Yes.
So we recognise both of those amazing matriarchs and inducted them into our Hall of Fame.
All right, fantastic. Now, you guys have a web page, Michelle?
We have a Facebook page at this point in time.
Okay, yeah.
We're slowly building ourselves trying to get that funding in so that we can build those type of things.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
But we do have a Facebook page and people can follow us on there. So,
and that's under Southwest Aboriginal Women's Collective?
Correct.
Lovely,
yes.
Beautiful. All right. So all you deadly mob out there, all you deadly sisters out there, do check it out. Brothers can go online, have a look for observation sort of thing. But the conversation is for our deadly sisters. Michelle, thank you for sharing, and all the best to all our beautiful women out there. And look, leading from the front, sister.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
we'll be in touch.
Your way.
Lovely. You take care.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Beautiful yarn there. That's Michelle Wisnan, Southwest Aboriginal Women's Collective chairperson, and Southwest Aboriginal Women's Collective host second historic roundtable. So had an inaugural meeting early this year, January, and had another one 1st and 2nd of September. It looked fantastic. And look, leading the way, and beginning is half done. And they're mimicking and regarding the top end of what they're doing up there, and beautiful sisters up there. And they thought, let's bring it south and do it on the south side of the WA state of far north Queensland, or far north Queensland, of far north of what they're doing in WA. So look at this, do deadly mob, take a page out of their book, you mob operate, and they're open for conversation. Do check out their Facebook page, Southwest Aboriginal Women's Collective. This is your deadly program, National Talk Black. Have you saying yarn up strong? Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416.
Yeah. HP. I'm gonna make a name for y'all. All my indigenous people, this one for y'all. From the east to the west, they label me indigenous. I'm one of many blessed, bringing you the vocal effects. From the gay now's nest, my wings flap until they stop. I be dropping these island warrior raps. I'm just a typical black, so I suggest you lay back. Listen to this fella rip off the mic on this track. I'm on a mission, no time for comers dialing my digits. Interfering with time for rhymes and beats that I'm mixing. My true ambitions, I'll prove it ain't no counterfeit play. I know if you're listening closely, then you might know what I'm saying. I don't spray, my rhymes flow smoothly onto the page. A quintessential rapper coming out of the strait. So while I continue to glow and flow, yeah, I know that the bass, the rhythm and the vibes in your face. It's the baller with a capital P. I'm putting it down for the HB. You ballers can't see me. You ballers can't see me. East Coast or far north is where I'm dropping my rhymes. Indigenous people around, are you feeling my vibe? Let me stop dropping, roll it and just keep it alive. Cause I'm a Holloway's critter till the day I die. Picked up the mic and started spitting, gave you all a surprise. Yeah, we creeping on the come up and coming up on the rise. It's time for my people to stand up and be recognized. Cause we sick of being harassed by cops and government lies. Every day is the struggle, everywhere is the same. Where there's people causing trouble, where the first they blame. I'm sick of these games, these ways and the lack of respect we get. So I wrote rhymes, now I'm ready and set to blow. Stick a finger in the police face. This fat beat is like a repeat of the Mabo case. These politicians are afraid to look me straight in the eye, cause they know that my people are coming up on the rise. What?